message is from Family Worship Center. This message will not only build your life, but will make you experience the transforming love of God. Open up your heart and be blessed.
Father, this morning we just worship you. We just worship you. We bless your holy name. We lift you up, O God. We lift you up in our songs. We lift you up in our lives. We lift you up with our praise, O God. We bow before you. We honor you, Lord, this morning. We honor you, Lord. We honor you. We worship you. Blessed be your holy name. We thank you for all you did for us this last week. Thank you for every deliverance, every provision, every guidance, every act of love, every goodness, every healing, every provision. Lord, we thank you. Thank you for the ministry of angels. Thank you for the angels that have filled this place this morning, ascending and descending. On every assembly where Family Worship Center is gathered this morning, we recognize the ministry of angels. We recognize the ministry of angels. We recognize the ministry of angels ascending with our needs and coming down with our answers in the name of Jesus. Lord, we thank you because your presence is in this place. Father, do what you want to do. Visit us, O God. Magnify your works amongst us, O Lord. Let there be healings and deliverances, O God. Let your name be glorified in this place in the name of Jesus. We thank you, Lord, because your word will flow this morning and it will not fall to the ground. It will not fall to the ground. You will be glorified in our lives. I declare that everybody within the sound of my voice is a hearer and a doer of your word. We do the word. We do the word. We are not hypocrites in this place. We do the word. Thank you, Lord, because you will strengthen us with might by your spirit in the inner man, and you'll continually be glorified. I thank you for taking every pastor back home safely. Lord, I thank you. Yeah, I thank you, Lord. All over the congregations, clap unto the Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. We didn't hear any bad news, and we shall not hear any bad news. Father, thank you because your Holy Spirit is working in the lives of everybody that is listening via live streaming. You're working in everybody's life. You're meeting everybody at the point of their need. Blessed be your holy name. In Jesus' name, you may be seated. Hallelujah. And good morning. Mark chapter 8. Mark chapter 8, and I'm going to be reading from verse 27. Verse 27 says, "Now Jesus and his disciples went out to the towns of Caesarea Philippi, and on the road he asked his disciples, saying to them, 'Who do men say that I am?' So they answered, 'John the Baptist. But some say Elijah, and others say one of the prophets.' He said to them, 'But who do you say that I am? Peter answered and said to him, 'You are the Christ.' Then he strictly warned them that they should tell no one about him. And he began to teach them that the Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected by the elders and chief priests and scribes and be killed, and after 3 days rise again. He spoke this word openly. Then Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him. But when he had turned around and looked at his disciples, he rebuked Peter, saying, 'Get behind me, Satan.'" Let's read the next sentence together. "For you are not mindful of the things of God, but the things of men." When he had called the people to himself with his disciples also, he said to them, "Whoever desires to come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whoever desires to save his life will lose it. But whoever loses his life for my sake and the gospel's will be saved, will save it. For what will it profit a man if he gains the whole world and loses his own soul? Or what will a man give in exchange for his soul? For whoever is ashamed of me and my words in this adulterous and sinful generation," Jesus didn't even see this generation we are in now, "of him the Son of Man also will be ashamed when he comes in the glory of his Father with his holy angels. That is the word of God. Acts chapter 1. Acts chapter 1, verse 1. The former account I made, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began to do, both to do and teach, until the day in which he was taken up after he through the Holy Spirit had given commandments to the apostles whom he had chosen, to whom he also presented himself alive after his suffering by many infallible proofs, being seen by them during 40 days, and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God. And being assembled together with them, he commanded them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father, which he said, you have heard from me. For John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. Therefore, when they had come together, they asked him, saying, Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom to Israel? He said to them, it is not for you to know times or seasons which the Father has put in his own authority. But you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. Now when he had spoken these things, while they watched, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. And while they looked steadfastly toward heaven as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, who also said, Men of Galilee, why do you stand gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus, who was taken up from you into heaven, will so come in like manner as you saw him go into heaven. Praise the Lord. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 21, the one we read every week. 1 Peter 2, 21 says, For to this you were called. Let's read it together. For to this you were called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that you should follow in his steps. Praise the Lord. Today I'm speaking on following Jesus at all costs. Following Jesus at all costs. Now, after some time of walking with the disciples, Jesus asked them who they thought he was. He asked them who they thought he was. Why did he ask them? Why did he ask them? I believe that Jesus sensed their expectations of who they thought he was and what he was all about, and decided to correct that notion. Jesus already knew what they were thinking about. Now, having seen all the miracles Jesus had done and performed, and hearing Peter affirm that he was the Christ, they believed that the next thing Jesus would do was to give them political power, to free them from the oppression of the Romans, their enemies, and to restore the kingdom to them. See, the Romans had taken over Israel, was ruling with iron hands and collecting heavy taxes. So when Peter said, you are the Messiah, and Jesus affirmed it, actually the Christ means the Messiah, and the Messiah means the Savior, the anointed one. So in their minds, Jesus is anointed and is the Messiah. He has come to set them free, to give them political power. And so Jesus asked that question intentionally to correct a false notion, to correct what they were thinking. What they were thinking was that, of course, I already said he will give them power, he'll give them prosperity, he will give them comfort and other privileges, especially a government that will not place any demand on them. That was what they were thinking. Instead of Jesus going that route, Jesus began to talk to them about the Son of Man suffering. Suffering many things, being rejected by the elders and the chief priests and scribes, and to be killed and be raised the third day. So Peter wouldn't have it. He actually called Jesus on the side and said, don't say that. You can't say that. He rebuked Jesus. How can you talk like that? We just said you are the Messiah. We just said you are the Christ. And Peter rebuked God. Just like some of us bind the devil over everything. I bind you, Satan. I bind you, Satan. And have you realized that as you are binding him, he's not bindable. He's not being bound. Because there are certain things you must go through. So Jesus turned and looked at the disciples. And then he rebuked Peter. He rebuked this devil in Peter and said, get thee behind me. Now, what amazed me as I studied to preach, to come and speak to you, was the fact that we always see the fact that Jesus rebuked Peter. We don't see what he told him when he rebuked him. He said, for you are mindful of the things of men and not the things of God. You are not mindful of the things of God. In other words, what we are thinking of, what we are mindful of, is it in line with the things of God? That was what Jesus rebuked Peter, saying, you are not mindful of the things of God. You are mindful of the things of men. Now, what are the things of men? They are power. They are prosperity. They are wealth. They are fame. They are notoriety. They are things of this world. Whereas the things of God are different. The focus of God is different. The focus of Jesus was different. He says, the kingdom of God is righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. So the things of God are things of the Spirit, and the things of men are things of the earth. And this was what the disciples were mindful of. Might we not be in the same boat with the disciples today? Are we not thinking the same? Are we not thinking like the disciples thought? Are we not talking about taking dominion, taking over power, Christians in politics, wanting prosperity, and the soft life? All of us here are looking for the soft life, unfortunately. Looking for fame and popularity. Lying on Instagram and Facebook. We are looking for followers. We are looking for fame. We are looking for popularity. We want to be known. We want to be popular. We lie on Facebook. I'm particularly reminded of the lady that went to the air hostess which one used to come from Qatar? Emirates. And begged her, please, can I just pose in the business class? She gave her the chance. She posed in the business, sat and all, took pictures and posted it. And her friends would go and start worrying their husbands and say, look at your mate. See where he's putting his wife. Are we not doing that? Are we not just going out of our ways to just lie? You see everybody, you want to take pictures with them, you want to pose with everybody so that you'll be important. Jesus said, you are not minding the things of God, you are minding the things of men. A lot of us believe, and I used to believe, I still do believe, but in a different way. We believe that Jesus came to give us life and to give it to us abundantly. But have we really paused to ask ourselves, what abundant life meant to Jesus? How did he live his own abundant life? How did Jesus express abundant life? Answer me, did Jesus have abundant life? Did he have abundant life? Why are you afraid? Did Jesus have abundant life? Did he have houses? Did he have cars? Did he marry? Did he live in a posh situation? He said, the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head. We are following Jesus. We are following Jesus. Because for some of us, and me inclusive, I have not built a house in Abuja. I must build a house. I must have this. I must have this. I deserve this. I deserve that. What was Jesus' definition of abundant life? His definition of abundant life is in Acts chapter 10, verse 38, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power, who went about doing good. He went about doing good. He went about doing good. So doing good is the abundant life. Healing all who were oppressed of the devil because God was with him. That was Jesus' definition of abundant life. He himself was a suffering servant. He was despised and rejected by men. He was constantly challenged, disbelieved, accused, insulted, and eventually killed. See how Jesus Christ rejected the offers of Satan. If it was some of us, Satan said, bow down. You see all these kingdoms, I'll give them to you. They are mine. We would have said, Father, you know I love you. But you know I don't mean it from my heart. I'll just bow down. When I'm bowing down, no, I'm bowing down to you just to collect that. Jesus said, no, I don't want.
I don't want. He said, turn this bread out and into, turn this stones into bread and eat. I will show him the power of God. Father, I'm doing this in humility, but I just want to prove to this Satan that you are God and turn it. No, Jesus said, I won't do it. Fall down. Angels will carry you and blah, blah. You will not. He said, I will fall down. I will prove to this devil that when I even come back, my body will be as fresh as a child because God is with me. You see, there can be no explanations for compromising with the devil. Nothing, nothing is good enough. Are you hearing me this morning? He suffered and left us an example that we should follow in his steps. He rejected the gifts of the kingdom. I want to say to you this morning, Family Worship Center, that we have been handed a false Christianity, one that promises prosperity, that we will have and enjoy life without any demands placed on us. Yet Jesus himself said, in this life you will have tribulations. If the master suffered, how are we to escape? Can we be greater than our master? We have been taught. I remember when during COVID COVID got me. One of us got one, the other. And I shared their testimonies. Some people in some churches were criticizing me on Instagram. How can a pastor be sick? How can a pastor do this? It means that there is no faith in the church. And you see, that is the lie we have sold to people, that ministers and Christians don't get sick. But it's a lie. It's not true. We live in the same world. Christians do get sick, but they are healed. The Bible says you will fall down seven times, but you'll get back up. I am so mad at us Pentecostal preachers that are so, we lie as if our children don't get sick. Our children get sick, our children are on drugs, our children divorce, our children lie, our children cheat like any other children because they are children. If you call them children, they are children. So our children are not immune from the world. Neither are we immune from the world. So this lie that has been sold to you, that Christians, to where now you have stopped us from showing people who have died. Because you will stop coming to church. You say, in that church, people are dying. Is there a church where people are not dying? Do they live in a different Nigeria? We live in the same Nigeria. People are dying in every church. But see, because if we now post it, you will not come to church. Because we have lied to you that Christians don't die, that Christians don't get sick, that Christians are not broke. But that is not the truth. Christians get through all of that. We go through all of them. But we are still more than conquerors. After being declared the Christ, the next thing he did was to talk about suffering. Is that not a paradox? Or a contradiction? The Christ. After being the Christ, you should be pumping. They know me. He now begins to talk to them about suffering and death. I want to turn the mind of our church to following Jesus Christ sincerely. Are you hearing me? To following him, not because of what he will give us, but because of what he taught and what he was, so that we be like he be. After rebuking Peter, he now told Peter what will be. We'll go back to Mark chapter 8. Mark chapter 8, and I will look at verse 34. When he had called the disciples to himself, with the people to himself and with the disciples, he said to them, whoever desires to come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whoever desires to save his life will lose it. But whoever loses his life for my sake and the gospel's will save it. Let's read it together. For what will it profit a man, everybody? For what will it profit a man if he gains the whole world and loses his own soul? Or what will a man give in exchange for his soul? For whoever is ashamed of me and my word in this adulterous and sinful generation, of him the Son of Man will be ashamed when he comes in the glory of his Father with the holy angels. So what does it mean to follow Christ? To follow Christ means to be mindful of the things of God and not the things of men. That was what he said to Peter when he rebuked, "I rebuke you, Satan, for you are not mindful of the things of God, but the things of men." So to follow Christ is to mind the things of God. In Colossians chapter 3, verse 3, it says, "Set your affections on the things above, not on the things beneath," where Christ is seated with God. What does it mean to follow Christ? It is to deny yourself of many things and take up the cross and follow him. It is to be ready to lose your life for Christ if need be. That is what it means to follow Jesus. It is to be willing to lose the whole world in order to gain your soul in heaven. It is to not be ashamed of Christ, but to declare him publicly and to be a witness of him in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the world. That is what it means. I'll say it again. It is to be mindful of the things of God and not of the things of men. It is to deny yourself, take up your cross and follow him. It is to be ready to lose your life for Christ. It is to be willing to lose the whole world, if need be, in order to gain your soul in heaven. And it is to not be ashamed of Christ, but to declare him publicly and to be a witness of him in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the world. I want to say to you boldly, full-chested, that it is false, demonic, and ungodly to think of Jesus as one who will give us political power, prosperity, wealth, without placing any demands on us. Jesus never said that. That was not his mind, and that was not his purpose. It is demonic. See, when the devil engages you, and all you are doing is looking for worldly materials, you are looking for wealth, you are looking for power, you are looking for this, you are off the things of God. You are off on a tangent. That's what the Bible says. That's what... Am I? You are looking at me in shock. Am I lying to you this morning? It's demonic to put you on that rat race. Things, world, money, position, power, fame, this, that. And then you come once in a while and you appease God on Sunday and go back. Money, material things, this. It's demonic. It's not the plan of God for my life and your life. Now, are we not supposed to walk? We are supposed to walk. But everything we do must be because we are fulfilling the mandate of Christ. That is the difference. When after his resurrection, you see, the first time they were shocked was when after the declaration of you are the Christ. The second time, okay, we understand you will die. After he resurrected, in Acts of Apostles, now they believe this is the time you will restore the kingdom to us. So they didn't learn that first time. They did not hear him. So now they are asking him, when will you restore the kingdom to Israel? Jesus did not pull any punches. He just said to them, it is not in your place to know the times and seasons, but you shall receive power and you shall be my witnesses. Come on. Are you hearing this thing? You shall receive power. I'm not going to give you power for the world. I'm giving you power to do my things, the things of God. You shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon me, and you shall be my witnesses in these places. And after saying that, he left. He left. Deal with it. He left. He didn't need to prove any point. The only point he proved was he saved you, he died, he resurrected. That is all. After that, do my will. Do my will. He did not give them an earthly kingdom. He did not give them earthly comfort or earthly power. He gave them an assignment to preach the gospel to all the ends of the earth. And the end shall come. This sounds like a Deeper Life church or some funny church, isn't it? It's the church of Jesus Christ. It's the gospel of Jesus Christ. This is the truth. This is the truth. This is the truth. So in my studies, I found a preacher, Pastor David Platt. He made the point so clear, so I thought to share it with you. 3 points.
He shared 3 points. I listened and listened and meditated, and I said, this is the gospel. He shared 3 points of what it means to follow Jesus. Point number one, I sent it to you. It is to die so you can live. It is to die so you can live. It is to die to self. It is to die to the world. It is to die to your ambitions, your desire, and your wants. To follow Christ is not to hold onto your life, but to be ready to let it go, to be ready to die. The symbol of Christianity is the cross. And the cross is not for soft life. It's an instrument of death. Listen to this. You cannot have your life and have Jesus, since he didn't have his life to have you. Did you hear that? You cannot have your life and have Jesus, since Jesus did not have his life to have you. He died to have you. You must die to have him. Oh, whether you like it, whether you clap or not, I'm going. I'm on this journey. I have dealt with myself in my room, so it is your own turn. If we choose Jesus, then we automatically hand over our lives to him. To have Jesus is to deny ourselves of anything that is contrary to his will. Okay, he made the point, and I understood it in my way, and I adopted it to how I understood it. To have Jesus is to deny yourself. This is a bunch of people that have decided not to deny, not to let go of anything, and not go greed generation. Contrary to the will of God is to deny yourself. That is what was happening in Matthew chapter 5, verse 7. They slap here, turn here. They ask 1 mile, go 2 miles. They ask to borrow from you, borrow and don't lend and ask not, don't expect anything in return. That is the real Christianity. We have become so terrible, so anti-Christ. Opposite of Christ is not even funny. Nobody can say anything to us. We must revenge. Nobody can do anything people do. You just do times 10. And it's supposed to be times 10 the other way. We are so ruthless in our rights and what we are entitled to. We are so vehement. And yet, if you must follow Christ, the Bible says we die. It means you trust him completely with your life. Galatians chapter 2 verse 20 says, I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who lives, but Christ lives in me. The life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. I have been crucified with Christ. The Bible says, reckon yourselves to be dead in Christ and alive unto God. Something about us must change. That thing that must hold people until you prove them wrong, until you put them down, until they are on the ground and breathing, and then you prove yourself, that thing must die in us. That thing must die in us. That thing that must hold people until you prove your point, it's not necessary. It's not the life of Christ. The life of Christ is different. He says to turn the other cheek. I'm going to be in your business this morning. Please pardon me, it's because I love you. If I don't tell you the truth, I don't do you a service. Philippians 1:21 says, for to me to live is Christ, and to die is what? So the Christian's life, or the life of a Christian, is life in Christ. Christ lives in me and owns me. I am dead to myself. I live to Christ. Whatever he wants, I do. Whatever he requests of me or from me, I give. Wherever he sends, I go. Whatever he commands, I obey. Whatever he loves, I love. Whatever he hates, I hate. No matter what, no matter the cost, I'm willing to follow him till the end. That's why I told you to keep reading that Matthew chapter 5 to 7 over and over again, because that is the real life of the Christian. That is the real life of the Christian. Any other thing is the opposite. What does it mean to follow Christ? It is to die to self. It is giving people who take advantage of you, giving to people who have taken advantage of you. It is enduring a bad marriage just to honor your vows. Say, Pastor, what if they are beating me? You know that that's not what I mean.
I'm just talking about things not working right. And you know, this generation, we are not compatible. I don't like him. We are not, the number one is we are not compatible. That is not a reason. That is till Jesus comes and goes, it will not be a reason. There are not two people that are compatible. There are two people that are willing to work their differences until they agree. Two different people cannot be compatible. They are just different. They have made a choice to deny their flesh, to deny themselves and follow Jesus. The Bible says the person who swears to his hurt and does not change his mind, that is the person that will approach God. So suffering is not just when they come and shoot you with a gun or they persecute you and cut your neck. I'm talking about those things in Matthew chapter 5. They are suffering things. They are suffering things. When somebody takes your borrows and does not give, is that not suffering? Promise you, I'll bring it tomorrow. Maybe you save the thing for something, but they came and begged you. You gave them. Now they're telling you stories. Jesus said, leave them. That is suffering. That is suffering. And as you go through those things, you are growing the man of the spirit. You are becoming an edifice in the kingdom of God. You are becoming like Jesus Christ. He said, do not deny him who wants to borrow from you. And when he borrows and doesn't, don't expect him to bring it back. That is suffering. Living in a bad marriage, that is suffering. But as you live through it, eventually you become a hero. Our mothers particularly became heroes. You could see Christians who went through pain and stayed. And at the end, we look at them and we honor them. Christians don't run away. They don't back away from trouble. They stand because they have a master they are following. Jesus did not back away from trouble. Jesus, people hated him and all, but he did not change his truth and finish his course. He said, my meat is to do the will of my Father and to finish it. Oh, I've not even reached the main point. I'm shouting already. Lord, have mercy. Point number two. So the conclusion of that point, if it means you die, it means you have to die in order to live. Point number two, it means you choose the suffering that comes with obedience over the comfort that comes with disobedience. Come on. I meditated on this point. Actually, these are not my original thoughts. These points, the explanations are my original points, but the points I borrowed, I must give them credit. Pastor David Platt, Platt. It means you choose the suffering that comes with obedience over the comfort that comes with disobedience. I've heard this generation said, but how about my happiness? How about my joy? After all, Jesus died so that I may have abundant life. That is comfort in disobedience, because you've already disobeyed the word of God and now you're comfortable. The disciple chooses to suffer in obedience rather than rejoice in disobedience. Are you gaining anything from this thing? It is not that we seek for suffering, but that we're ready to suffer when it comes. Like I said, e.g. having to turn the other cheek, loving your enemies, going the extra mile, giving to people who take advantage of you, enduring a bad marriage just to honor the vows, and all the things in the Sermon on the Mount. You endure a lot because you are dead to yourself. You are dead to yourself. You are dead to yourself. It is no longer you who lives, but Christ who lives in you. You allow him to live through you. Somebody say amen. Amen. So if you really follow Jesus, suffering will come with decisions at work, in your business, in your relationships. It means sometimes losing your job. It means sometimes getting sick. It means sometimes losing loved ones. But you continue. You continue that no matter what happens, you continue. Like Job says, though he slays me, yet will I praise him. The man who wrote, it is well with my soul. He was a missionary somewhere and all his family died one by one, his wife and all his children. When they told him the last one, he said, it is well with my soul. These are the songs we sing with relish. 2,000, hundreds of years later, we are still singing the songs. Why? Because they continued regardless. They didn't have children, they continued. They didn't have what they need. They prayed and things happened the other, they continued. They killed all of Job's children. The Bible says he bowed and worshipped. That soft life Christianity we have told you, throw it away. Throw it away. Following Jesus means moving in obedience, not disobedience. It is to choose to displease yourself in order to please Jesus. Like going on missions, like going to prisons, like going to the hospital, taking care of orphans and widows. Those are things that are not comfortable. Like giving your money to people who need it, to a widow, and doing stuff for others, which is the abundant life. The abundant life is doing the things of God. The abundant life is helping somebody in primary school, is helping widows, is using most of your money for the things of God, not for the things of yourself. Not for things of yourself. Come on. We will be followers of Jesus if our priority is comfort. We will not be followers of Jesus if our priority is comfort. We will not. The more we follow Jesus for who he is, the harder our lives will be in this world. Can I tell you something? If so far all your Christianity, nobody, they are hailing you, nothing has gone wrong and everything is okay. You are not a Christian. It's not Christianity you are doing. Real Christianity is people that have been at the civil service for 50 years and no promotion. They promote everything and everybody under you before you. You are, and there are people like that in this church. They promote everybody because you are a Christian and because you won't play ball. If you are in the civil service and you are just laughing and sailing, you are sinning big time. I must tell you. I'm telling you. You are a Christian and nobody has attacked you. Nothing has happened. Your files are moving. Things are happening. You are building houses in Abuja. You are traveling overseas. Your children are in London. And you are a thief. Real Christians in the civil service, promotion is once a while. You will walk, and they will do beat. You will walk, and then they'll do walk. That is real. You that is just, hey, hallelujah, you're coming and testifying with false money, false certificates, all this. Point number three, and the last point. I have 54 seconds. Following Jesus means we gladly renounce the prosperity and applause in this world for the prosperity and applause in the world to come. We read it. What does it profit a man if he gains the whole world and loses his soul? Having things in this world is not a sin, but it is not the life. It is a lie. All things of the world put together are worth nothing. Jesus is the life. Nothing else. For me to live is Christ. Jesus must be the purpose for which we do everything. He must be our pursuit, our attention. We must live not for the worldly prosperity, but for heavenly prosperity. I close by saying what Jesus said to the disciples. Mind the things of God, not the things of the world.
Thank you for listening to this message. You will be blessed when you do the things that you have heard. You can make a brand new start in life by becoming a child of God. It's as easy as believing in your heart as you say the following prayer. Jesus, I thank you for dying for me. Jesus, come into my heart today and be my Lord and Savior. I declare right now that I am born again. In Jesus' name, amen. Congratulations if you just said that prayer. It is important that you join a Bible-believing church immediately so that you grow in knowing Christ. We would love to have you visit our church in Abuja, Nigeria. For more information about this ministry, you can visit our website at www.fwcabuja.org. God bless you.
Family Worship Center. We care.